I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, the number one thing tonight, we want to hear from you at 888-957-9570. But everybody be safe, because it is very hazardous out there. As there's flash flood warnings all over the Bay Area, and I know it's just been coming down all day long. So when you're calling in at 888-957-9570, most important thing is make sure you are safe getting home from this game where the Golden State Warriors took down the Miami Heat 107-95, and kind of a real odd game to where early Miami did really well in the paint, as we hear every single time we open up this show, Matt. You hear Steve Kerr say, hey, we're going to get everybody's best shot, because this isn't a very good basketball team. They had come in having lost 11 of their last 13, second worst offense and points per game in the NBA, but you're coming to play the Warriors. They're gonna give you everything they got, and they had the lead at halftime, but in the second half, just too much Golden State Warriors, and they prevail in this one.
Yeah, this is a really well-coached team, Miami, and Eric Spoelstra does a nice job with them, and they clearly came in here with a plan to try to slow the Warriors up, to try to limit their transition. And the one thing they also like to do, they certainly did it here last year, was try to limit the Warriors' three-point attempts. They did a so-so job there. The Warriors were 11 for 27 from the floor, but from three-point range, but you know, this is a game where I think you have to give the Warriors credit. I think maybe you might have wanted them to do a little more, but this is a tough team to get out and really score a lot of points on. They're very disciplined, and they came in here and did a nice job of slowing the game down and just trying to keep it close and see if they could make a run late. They were only down 85-80 at one point, so they didn't do a bad job, and I think if you're the Warriors, you take the win and you move on to Thursday against the Pistons.
You know, you look out there today, Matt, and it just shows you how quick things can change for an organization. As they were talking about it before the game on Comcast, you know, you just think about what this team was. You know, this team was the Heatles. They were the rock stars of the NBA. They were the number one. Remember Rich Herrera? Do you remember Rich?
Sure.
So I was on with Rich. Rich still has a show down in South Florida. I believe it's 790 is their flagship station, the Heat. And I was on with him earlier today. And I was like, you know how crazy it is? It is here you have the Miami Heat were the darlings of the NBA, or some might say they were the bad guys of the NBA. But when they were on the road, everybody wanted to see them, and that's what the Golden State Warriors are now.
Right.
Years ago, no one would ever even thought the Warriors would be the most desired team that you would spend the most money to pay to see them. But that's just the way it is. But it wasn't that long ago. You know, it was the Heatles. And now look at where they are and look where the Golden State Warriors are. It can happen so fast.
Yeah, it can. And the Miami Heat, in terms of the excitement factor, they're not at the top of the list. Let's put it that way. I mean, there's not a lot of star power on this team right now. Hassan Whiteside and Goran Dragic are probably their best players. But the thing about Miami is, with Pat Riley in charge and Spoelstra now, who's been there for quite a while, it's a franchise that believes it can get a superstar free agent if a free agent becomes available. They still consider themselves a marquee franchise, and as long as Pat Riley's there, they'll probably be one. So I expect the Miami Heat to get back onto their winning ways and sooner rather than later. And if you're the Warriors or a Warrior fan, I think you gotta appreciate what's going on right now, because it's not going to last forever.
No, it's not. It's not. It's going to go for a long time. And obviously, Dwayne Wade leaving, the greatest player in their franchise history. You think about all the All-Star games. You think about the three championships. You think about what he did for the franchise. Yeah, but they're a far way away. But we want to hear from you, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. My favorite moment of the night is towards the very end where you got the big man selling out on the ground and getting it, and you just love to see Zaza the way that he's been playing and the way that he's starting to fit in to where he's starting to feel confident. Because you've said, hey, look at all these guys who have come in here. They've got to try and have, figure out how to play on a team like this, which is one of the greatest offenses that we've ever seen in NBA history. Zaza's starting to finally feel comfortable, and he's not timid. He's just not sitting around watching more. He's playing basketball. And I love when he was diving on the ground, getting that play, and that was awesome.
Well, he's got to do that, I think, if you're Zaza Pachulia and you're playing on this team and you have four scores, I mean, they need players who can do the dirty work. And whether it's Draymond Green or whether it's Zaza Pachulia or David West, whoever is in there and likely in the five spot and maybe in the four spot, they need those players to do the things like rebound, play defense, get loose balls. And I not only think that Pachulia is getting used to playing with the Warriors, I think some of the Warriors are getting used to playing with him, too. He's a little different than Bogut on both sides. But he's got some positives to offer, and it's taken halfway through the season. But I think we're starting to see some of the things that he can bring to the table, including just some hustle plays that can get his teammates and the crowd involved.
Well, one thing, when he hits the floor and like Bogut, you're not like, oh, my God, is he going to be hurting out for weeks?
Exactly.
But here, how about this? This is one thing that really, really has changed. As, you know, Zaza, you know, on our show took some criticism, but now you start to look the way he's been playing.
Yeah.
And how about from the free throw line? Something that Bogut and Festus weren't very good at. He was 12 for 12 from the line going into this game. And I think in this one, looking at it, he was 2 for 2. So he's not somebody, when he goes to the line, it's like, oh, my God, here we go.
No, he's somebody you want at the line for sure. The question is he going to be in a game in the last 3 or 4 minutes where he's going to get a chance to make some big free throws? Steve Kerr likes to go with that small lineup. Although the other night against Memphis, he did bring Pachulia back in that game, even though he likes to finish small, but the Warriors were getting beat up so badly on the interior, he actually went and brought Zaza back into the game. So Pachulia isn't the same as Bogut. He's not the same as Azili either. He's not the rim protector either of those guys are, but he does do some other things that he deserves credit for, and one is make his foul shots, the other is knock down a face-up jumper here and there, although we haven't seen a lot of that this year because he's reluctant to shoot it. But I think you're right, Zaza Pachulia is getting more comfortable and the teammates are getting more comfortable with him.
And it's time to hear from the fans, brought to you by Nation's Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real. Make it Nation's. 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Want your thoughts on this game where the Golden State Warriors took down the Miami Heat 107-95. Let's go to Joaquin. Joaquin in Oakland, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Steiny. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was calling just to see what your take is as far as Patrick McCaw. I got really excited that he was going to start tonight. There's that. And secondly, I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of, or maybe Tony might be able to tell me, if you're so good with the stats, how did we look as far as assists in the fourth quarter? I was a little concerned with the fourth quarter and our send a ISO ball type of play in the fourth quarter. What do you guys think?
I would actually say in this game, the pick and roll, they did it with a lot of different guys today. I thought it was very, very effective in this game. And I think we're all going to look from the last Memphis game, how the end of the game, you talked a lot about it, Matt, isolation basketball. When you have three scores on the floor, you can't do that. I would say today we saw a lot with a lot of different guys, whether it was with Kevin Durant and Steph or with even Zaza, Draymond. We saw a lot of pick and roll today, and they were successful with it.
Yeah, and as for McCaw, I think maybe we got a little too excited a little too soon with what we saw in the preseason. I think he's going to be fine down the line. I think he's going to be a really good defender. I think he needs to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. But
yeah, he's thin.
Yeah, but I don't think, you know, I just don't think he's ready to play at this level yet with this team. But he's still in a good spot because he's going to get to play with some superstar players. But I think that when it comes to McCaw, we may be waiting a year or two before he really starts contributing. Although, in fairness, it may be as soon as next year, if depending on what happens with Iguodala and Livingston and whether they come back or not.
God, Livingston is just and Livingston is just playing so well.
Yeah,
he's just I know we've talked about it before, but he has finally found a home. And you talk about comfort and hitting that mid-range jumper, and he's so long, Matt.
Yeah.
That when he goes up, who's guarding him that's going to contest his shot?
Well, that's the thing. He's got a real advantage when he comes in and plays the point guard position, and even a lot of times when he plays the two, because he can shoot over those guys. Where he doesn't have an advantage is when Steve Kerr plays him at three, which he's done a little more this year than last year, and then that obviously mitigates kind of his size. But Sean Livingston is always a guy who can create a mismatch if he's in a backcourt position, if he's playing the one or two. And that's something that the Warriors sometimes will go to when they bog down, because he is a mismatch waiting to happen if he gets matched up against the smaller guy.
888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We continue with your phone calls. After the Warriors take down the Miami Heat 107-95, you're listening to Warriors Wrap-Up right here on the home of the Warriors. That's 95.7 The Game.
You know what time it is.
Give me the green light.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light. Cause I'm ready to go.
James Johnson for fake. Fake down the lane. Hand off right side the foul line. Knocked away by Curry. Loose ball on the floor. Zaza got to it. Beats Curry. Hand off Iguodala with a dunk. Pachulia goes to the floor, and for the second night in a row, second game in a row, I should say, he sets up a fast break that leads to a big-time bucket.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
That's the play I was talking about. I always love seeing the big man hit the floor. And quickly, before we get back to the phones at 888-957-9570, how about the lineup of Livingston, Clark, Iguodala, West, and Green? That was the lineup Steve Kerr, after the game, really credited for what happened tonight out on the floor.
Yeah, it's a lineup he doesn't go to a lot. There's some players in that lineup that aren't big scorers, so you have to be careful that they're going to be able to put enough points on the board to make it worthwhile. But tonight they did a nice job. And it'll be interesting to see if he goes with that lineup a little more. I tend to think he probably won't, just because Clay was not playing tonight after he was given some rest. But, it was definitely an interesting lineup that he went with, and they did a nice job for him.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, Matt, and you think about what we're looking at with this team, and Steve Kerr talked about it before, he's still saying, hey, you can look at our record all you want at 33-6. It's still a work in progress, and they still feel that way. Still got a long way to go. But he's talking about, you know, thought that the small lineup would have been better, but, you know, it's still a work in progress. And, of course, it is. Especially when we get all these new guys and new players, and I know we have such expectations, but the reality is it's going to be that.
Yeah, and the goal is that once March and April come around, they got some of the bugs worked out. Their defense is tight by that point, and they have a feeling of what they're going to do late in the game in terms of their offensive execution. I think the biggest problem this team's going to have is playing enough close games so that when the postseason comes, they'll be ready for it.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. You're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Yeah, I kind of like how, Steve Kerr is experimenting. I mean, he kind of hit him on the butt on Friday, you know, when the Memphis came back. But, you know, I understand what he's trying to do, you know, because, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a race. So, you know, he's just trying to see what's good for us, you know, offensively and defensively. Big lineup, small lineup. You know, I like what he's doing. I like how he rested Clay. That's about time he rests one of our stars. I mean, Cleveland's doing it, so why can't we do it too? you know.
Yeah, and don't forget, Clay wasn't feeling well the other night when he ended up playing, so maybe that had something to do with it. I think the Warriors are a little bit different, though, without Clay Thompson. You can just tell when they're missing his scoring or one of the – you know, it's funny because down the stretch you wonder who you're going to go to among those three players, but during the course of the game when you want buckets – you realize one of those guys isn't playing when one of those guys isn't playing. And tonight, Klay Thompson wasn't playing, and it felt like it. They just didn't seem quite as explosive offensively.
Yeah, you know, Klay's an all-star, maybe the best two-way two-guard in the league. So it's noticeable when he's not there. You know, hopefully we'll have him back next game. We'll have a big game.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back Thursday against the Pistons.
Thank you, Antonio. You know, that's one thing that you see inside teams, and it's something that it's very hard to protect against, but when multiple guys start getting sick, you know, we saw it with the Raiders in Denver where they talked about so many of the guys on defense were really, really sick. And one guy can be the catalyst to start getting multiple people. You know, because it's the way these guys are traveling, as
right.
much as they travel, and the schedules and the time zones and the hotels. It's just you're acceptable to colds and being sick. And the last thing you wanted to do was run through your locker room. And I have no idea how bad he was, but
right.
you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, you've been playing through this. Take a day or two. Let's get you through this.
Well, a lot of players around the league right now are sick. There's been a lot of guys who have been sitting out because of the flu or flu-like symptoms. And, you know, it's true. I mean, if Klay Thompson's sick, you don't want him to come. Because if he comes, he might get more guys sick. And then the next thing you know, you got two or three guys out against the Pistons. So, ideally, he doesn't come out tonight to the arena. Great night not to come out here. I got to tell you that. That was a great you know, just a great thing that he didn't have to come out here tonight in the rain. So he picked a good game to get the flu for.
If you're going to miss any game
definitely.
And a drive into the arena,
no doubt.
This was the game to, I mean, wow.
Yeah,
it was.
I'm with you there.
It was brutal. And Matt, as I was driving up, that's why I you know, started the show, tell everybody to be safe.
Yeah.
As I was driving up, there were warnings saying by midnight tonight, flash floods on 880. And I'm thinking, well, that's how I got to get home to San Jose. I don't know if it's raining as we speak right now, but, yeah. And some ski resorts, they got so much snow they couldn't ski. It's a ski resort. You ski on snow. They've gotten so much snow they couldn't even ski. But we'll continue with your phone calls at 888-957-9570. And I want to bring up something to you, Matt, that Steve Kerr said. It would have been, I guess it would have been yesterday. And it's just something that just shows how things are different year after year. It's different when you start your run and then when you're right dab in the middle of it. This team is different. We'll talk about it right here. Warriors wrap up after the Warriors take down the Miami Heat 107-95 right here on 95.7 The Game.
Clark stumbles on the dribble. Back up top Durant. It's a three and it's good. Kevin Durant straight on with a three. Talking to the folks who work for the Heat, they see the same things that they saw when the Heat had their big three, that everybody's giving you the A game every night, and that's what the Warriors are getting this year.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we have seen that a lot, but there have been times when, you know, we haven't seen that. And I think of, like, the one New York Knicks game.
Right.
I do appreciate an effort like this tonight by the Heat. We talked about a very good effort from a Nuggets team that came in and gave the Warriors. I don't want to see people to look, okay, we're going in there, let's rest, guys. We know we're going to get it handed to us. I mean, come on, man, this is the highest level. You want to see everybody come out and try and give the Warriors their best, their A game, whether they don't have an A game or not, to give them their very best.
Yeah, and I thought the Miami Heat did that tonight. Hassan Whiteside gave the Warriors a little bit of trouble on the interior. He finishes with 28-20. I mean, that's a big-time game. They got a first-rate point guard in Goran Dragic. They just need a few more players. You know, they need a little more personnel to get their talent level up, but they're always going to be well-coached with Eric Spoelstra on the sidelines. And I think the Warriors – Did a nice job, too, of staying patient. You know, like I said, they're missing Klay Thompson, one of their top three scorers. And they get into halftime, and they're in a pretty tight ball game. But they came out in the third quarter. I thought the third quarter was very good. Obviously, they outscored Miami 26-14, and they were in control most of the fourth quarter. It did get down to five, but it was never a situation in which you thought they were going to lose the game. And sometimes you got to take a win without all the fanfare and without 15-20 highlights, and the Miami Heat don't let you really get up and down the court a lot. They want to keep it a pretty slow-tempoed ball game. They did that for the most part, and the Warriors just beat them like they should have, but it wasn't going to be – you're not going to beat the Miami Heat 135-90. They're just not going to let you beat them like that.
You know, when you watch the Olympics and Usain Bolt in the very early rounds of qualifying, how – people are running with him, and then all he does, he just does enough to beat him at the end.
Right.
You know, when it's the gold medal race is when you'll get, and that's kind of like tonight was like, okay, they're staying with me, and then towards the end, they're kind of close, but in the end, I'm just going to beat them.
Yeah.
I'll just couple quick steps, and boom, I'm fast enough, and I'll beat them, no problem.
Yeah, I thought Steph Curry was good tonight. He's still not quite nailing that three like we expect him to nail that three, but 24 points, 9 assists, eight rebounds tonight, 4 for 11 from three. You know, he makes one or two more, and then all of a sudden he's having a big night. But I thought he was very aggressive. I thought he controlled the game for the most part. And I thought instead of the game being dictated to him, which I think – has been the case a lot of times this season, I think lately, the last week or two, Curry's starting to take the bull by the horns and take more control of each and every game. He's starting to leave his imprint on more and more games, and tonight he did it again with 24 points and also with 21 shots. He's now been leading the team in shots for the last four games, which is another trend that's pretty new, because it was Klay who was leading the team in shots most of the season. But tonight he and Kevin Durant each with 21 shots. So Steph is definitely being more aggressive.
Let's go to Mike in Oakland. Mike, you're on Warriors Wrap Up.
Yeah, guys, I wanted to see your take on this whole Andre Iguodala thing. He's putting in a lot of minutes. I think we can all agree that he's deteriorated over this past season really quickly. Being that his contract's, I think, $11 million this year, what do you guys think about like a Tyson Chandler and one of the young guys, you know, to trade to Phoenix to pick up Tyson Chandler or Nerlens Noel, something like that, just to get bigger in the interior, to get a little bit more depth and being able to get some of those rebounds on the interior and stuff like that and shot blocking?
Well, you know, if they get a big, if they were to just theoretically trade Iguodala for a big man, this roster would be so imbalanced. They actually need more of a perimeter player right now than a big man, unless they get rid of some of these big men who aren't playing, i.e. Varejao or James Michael McAdoo. Because right now the Warriors have Pachulia they use at center, McGee they'll use at center, they use West at center, Varejao, McAdoo, Looney. They have too many big guys right now who aren't playing. But I hear you. If they don't think they can re-sign Andre Iguodala, and I have a feeling they're going to have trouble re-signing Iguodala, and even if they want to, his price tag might be a little too high. So, yeah, I think they've got to look at something like that. But I think the big man's got to be the right kind of big man. He's got to be a big man who can pass. He's got to be a big man who can defend his man but also help. Chandler would be that kind of guy. I don't know how much Chandler's got left in the tank. I thought he was starting to slip last year and the year before. But, again, you only really would be asking him to play maybe 10, 12, 15 minutes. He might not be a bad fit there. I don't know what Bob Myers is going to do, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors add somebody. And if it's a big guy, then they're going to have to do some finagling, I think, to the roster.
Well, you mentioned Chandler. What does he have left in the tank? What does really Andre Iguodala have left in the tank? Because right now, and ever since he came here, He was the glue guy, not exactly what you thought you were getting when he came over for Denver, but you love what he did because what he could do for you on both sides of the floor, you know, what he could do offensively, what he could defensively. But at this point in his career, what you know, on a team like this, it's great. He can come off the bench. He can do so much for you. But he doesn't have to fill up the box score for you to be happy with him. If somebody else comes in and pays him, then they're going to want numbers, right?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to pay Iguodala anymore to think that he's a core piece, a one, two, or three. The other thing is, the more I think about it, if you just exchanged Iguodala for Tyson Chandler, I think you might get worse. And the reason I say that is because Iguodala helps the Warriors in a lot of different ways. Now, I realize he's been struggling a little bit with his shot, obviously, and he seems like he's reluctant to take the ball to the hole, but he's still a very good perimeter defender, one of the better perimeter defenders on the team. He's still probably the Warriors' smartest player. He's one of their best passers, and he's not a guy who needs a lot of touches to be effective. So if you're asking me, would I get rid of Andre Iguodala just to bring in Tyson Chandler? No chance. I definitely wouldn't do that.
He fits where he is in his life, in his career, and where he wants to go after basketball. He's in a good spot.
He is. I think he wants one more payday. I think he's 31 years old, maybe 32. So he's probably going to want one more 3 or 4 year contract. It probably won't be at monster money. But he's still got enough in the tank to help a team. I just don't think you can rely on him anymore to play 75 games at 26, 28, 30 minutes a game. I think you got to bring his minutes down a little, and I think he's also a player who you might be looking at resting every once in a while. He and Livingston and David West, for that matter, I think we may see get some time off. How old is he?
January 28th, he'll be 33.
33, so he's almost 33. Okay. Maybe one more contract at 2 or 3 years. Something like that.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, no.
Why wouldn't you?
No.
I saw this today, and I wanted to bring it up to you. Steve Kerr admitted the challenge of coaching this team is different from the teams in the past. He said, quote, "I'm not going to lie and say it's just as fresh as it was 2.5 years ago when we got off to that great start and everybody was kind of realizing, oh my gosh, maybe we can win a championship. It's a little different when you're on the climb like that. Now everybody's telling us we're supposed to win. Our circumstances are totally different. And this is the key. I don't expect our guys to be as fresh and excited as they were 2 years ago."
They're not. They're not. And that's good of him to say that, because the Warriors haven't passed the eye test this year. I'm not talking about in terms of how well they've played. They've had stretches this year where they've been fantastic. But there is no doubt they're not having as much fun as last year. I don't know if it's pressure. I don't know if they're necessarily feeling pressure to win it all, but they definitely are feeling pressure, I think, to win a lot of games and to be there at the end. And they know that if they're not there at the end, the season will be a complete failure. And I do think it's just a little extra burden on them. And I think it's obvious that, well, it's just been pervasive. The team, I don't think, is having as much fun. I don't think the fans are nearly as into it as they have been the past 2 years. I think they've gotten used to it. And I just think that's kind of dangerous because, I mean, look at this team's 33-6. They win two more games, and they're on a 70-12 pace again. No team's ever won 70 games back-to-back. So it really is kind of strange that this is a historical team and they're doing historical things, and yet it is becoming a little bit ho-hum and blasé.
You know what? And there's a couple examples that you can think of where teams were bad or they weren't very good. And I'll take a college one for you. You know, Gonzaga, they made it to the tournament 1 year. And it was the first year they ever made it. And then they went a couple more years. And then they really went on that run, right? Well, 5-6 years later, when you go every year, it's not the same.
Right.
How about the Atlanta Braves? You remember when the Atlanta Braves were bad all those years? Next thing you know, the Atlanta Braves were in the playoffs 17 straight years.
Right.
The players, the fans, it's not going to be the same from when you first did it and it was fresh and new. And the next thing you know, you're used to it. You expect it. And whenever you're the favorite, there's always something hanging over your head when you are the total favorite.
And there's always one thing that can happen to get that excitement back, and that is be lousy for about 3 or 4 years and then get good again. But I don't think any Warrior fan wants that to happen. So I just think the Warrior fans have to realize that what's going on now is unique. Teams don't get to play for titles every year. Teams don't go deep into the playoffs every year, but this is the Warriors' time. And whether it's going to last 1 year or 2 years or 5 years, nobody knows. But this team this year's got a chance to win a title. They're 33-6. And I think Steve Kerr's starting to realize that it might be time to appreciate it a little more rather than take it for granted. And I think that's what he's starting to feel like everybody's doing, that they're just taking it all for granted right now.
And the team on the floor today tells you everything you need to know. And I'm not talking about the Warriors, because I remember when they were up on that podium, not five, not six, not seven. Hey, they got a couple titles, right? They played for one and lost, but then won two. But the Heat, they were thinking, we're going to go on this run that's going to be year after year. Things change. Human beings, things change.
And they
didn't live up to their own expectations, what they thought they were going to do. But hopefully with the Warriors, you know, that's the one thing. When you are the total favorite and you do win it, that really opens it up for a run. Because then now you've done it. You've handled those expectations. All right, 888-957-9570. We'll continue with phone calls. Also, our man JD is back from the locker room. We'll hear from him as we continue right here on Warriors Wrap-Up, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Pulls up, takes a deep three, got it! Curry, two strides in front of half court, just nailed it! Nobody on planet Earth should take that shot other than Curry.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
That's just something I don't get used to. And JD, you didn't hear it, but that was the bomb from Curry. And when he shoots it, you just go, Jesus. And then when he makes it, you go, well, it's Steph Curry. But it's still, whenever he launches from that far out, it's still, and we should be used to it, I guess, but you just go, my God.
Well, he's starting to hit a few more of those lately. He wasn't hitting a lot of them for the most part this season compared to the last two seasons, but he's starting to hit a few more of them lately, which makes you think that maybe he's going to go on a big time tear from three-point range, which is something that, you know, we haven't seen. I mean, his numbers are down compared to the last 2 years, compared to some of the better, you know, beginnings of seasons in his career to this point. So I think it's coming. Every time he hits one of those and he plays a little better, I'm thinking, you know what, this could be the beginning of a 10, 13, 15-game stretch where he's, you know, shooting 50% from deep.
What was the kind of the vibe in the locker room tonight? It wasn't their most impressive game, but they kind of punched the clock and got what they needed. What were they saying in the locker room afterward?
A lot of credit to Miami tonight, first and foremost, on that, for making the game competitive without Klay Thompson in there. They really felt that Miami, maybe a little bit differently compared to some of these other teams we've seen in here, Memphis aside, that a lot of times comes in and it's just kind of that up and down game where teams are running around, they're getting layups, it's kind of an offensive display. The Heat really compete on the defensive end, even with a bunch of guys out and not a very good record. But they really felt that the unit that played early in the second quarter without Kevin Durant and Steph Curry on the floor, it was a unit of Draymond Green with David West, it was Livingston, Iguodala, and Ian Clark, really sparked things in the second quarter for the Warriors defensively. And, you know, Steve Kerr had said that he went to that lineup still just trying to figure out how Draymond would play with that group as opposed to Durant. Wanted to see how it looks. That's the one thing that comes out of a lot of these games, is the fact that the Warriors are still kind of tinkering with what they think might be able to work for them down the line. And I think that was tonight's project, if you will. You know, Steve Kerr wanted to see that lineup in particular, and whether the length and the physicality could help them in any way, and it did in the game tonight.
So they're not a weld oil machine, despite being 33-6, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. And Kevin Durant says that almost on a nightly basis. Winning at a great clip. You look at the record, like you say, 33-6. We're almost to the halfway point of the season, and yet they still feel that they can get a lot better, and that they still feel they don't have every single answer as far as how they want to play, who they want to play, and where they want to go to get even a big shot, which I know has been a big topic this last week since that Memphis game.
You think Andre Iguodala's turning the corner a little bit? What were they saying about him?
Yeah, Iguodala had said that he's actually felt pretty good since the beginning of December. He uses the rebounding total as a gauge as to whether or not his own gauge as to whether or not he ends up having an effective game. He feels when that number's around five or more, that he's active and involved in things. And tonight was a night where he hit some shots. Hit a three, 4-for-6, was a stabilizing factor, had some energy, some spring in his legs. And I think some nights he just doesn't have it. But when he does, the Warriors are awfully tough to beat. And tonight he had it, and they were tough to beat, even without Klay Thompson.
You know, we were talking about it. He's perfect for this team. And we know this. I don't know how many more years he's going to be here. But, you know, for this team, no one's expecting points, really. Play some defense. We always mention the glue guy thing. You know, he doesn't have to be a star anymore. Doesn't have to be an all-star player. It's just like he just fits here.
He does. It's just a matter of how consistently can he give the Warriors that. Is it every other game? Is it 60 games? You know, is it somewhere maybe in between? And you mentioned you don't know how long he's going to be here. Well, we may be talking about months as opposed to years when you start to answer that question, because the Warriors are going to have a very difficult time paying Andre Iguodala, who's going to be a free agent, assuming he wants to continue to play and assuming that he wants to continue to get market value for his play. Because I think he's a guy that if he plays really well down the stretch, and let's say he plays really well in the playoffs, I think he's a guy that other teams would look at and want to pay to be a leader, to do similar things that he's done.
And you know where the playoffs work for him? And I've talked, Matt, you and I have talked about this before.
Off days.
Go back and look at the NBA Finals, how many off days there were between those seven games.
2 days off for every travel, every time there was travel.
It's unbelievable.
And it was 2 days off between game one and game two. So, yeah, you look at it, you had 2 days off between one and two, two off between two and three, two off between four and five, and the rest of the way. It was two off after game four the rest of the way because they were going back and forth across the country.
It feels like Pachulia is starting to feel like a Warrior at this point.
Yeah.
He was the kind of the newcomer with Durant, but it feels like everybody's getting used to him and he's getting used to everybody. Is he kind of saying those things and Kerr following up on it?
Yeah, major theme of the last week to 10 days has been the fact that he's feeling more comfortable. He said this week at practice, I can't remember if it was practice or shoot around, but one of the media availabilities during the morning earlier this week, he said that he felt, you know, maybe he took a step back himself to try and make sure that he was allowing everybody else to do their thing on the floor. You know, almost a little passive, but intentionally passive, to try and figure out where he fits. Well, he thinks that he fits. You know, he figured that out, and now he knows where to be aggressive, where not to be aggressive. His teammates are able to find him in different spots on the floor to make him more effective. And he also said that he feels like he's physically maybe in a little bit better shape than he was earlier on in the season, which can go a long way.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't blame him either. I mean, think about this. If you're Zaza and you're coming in and you've got Steph Curry, two-time MVP, Kevin Durant, you can make a case, the best player on the planet, Klay. Like,
yeah, four All-Stars,
yeah,
two MVPs.
Yeah, you want me shooting? I mean, I really don't blame him.
You shoot it.
Yeah, here you. But you see it, and I love the play towards the end of the game where he's diving and getting that fast break going. I mean, I love seeing that. And here's the thing, two more free throws, JD. I think he's 14 for his last 14 from the line.
Yeah, and that's the one thing we still haven't seen is that 15 to 17 foot jump shot, which he's more of a set shot. He's so tall, really, but he's been able to knock that down throughout his career. Hasn't really done it. I know we talked about that a couple of games ago. The fact that you want Pachulia shooting it from 17, or you want Klay Thompson shooting it from 24. You probably want Klay Thompson, Curry, these guys shooting it from 24, or Durant to take that 17 footer from that same spot. Where Pachulia is, but he's a guy that his unselfishness. I mean, he signed for his veteran minimum number. He signed to come here. He's a guy that could have been paid probably three times as much as he's currently getting paid by the Warriors, if that's what his career was really all about on the open market at this stage. And he wanted to come here. He thought his skill set was a good fit with Andrew Bogut departing, and that he could get a championship and help this team out. So I think that's in his nature going into this thing, that unselfishness and willingness to take a step back to figure it out. Well, now here we are. He's starting to figure it out, and he's their best center, other than maybe Draymond Green when they go to the small lineup. He's better than all the other guys. I know sometimes it's a debate among the fans that it's, oh, is it McGee, and what do you get from Looney? It's really McGee versus Pachulia. I think you poll Warriors fans, McGee versus Pachulia right now, majority of them would say McGee's a better player. That's simply not true. I mean, they're complementary players. They're different players. But Pachulia is a better player than JaVale McGee at this point.
What do you make of so-so game was by Patrick McCaw? A tough spot for him to play with the starters. It seems like the Warriors might have had higher hopes for him at the beginning of the season. I don't know how much time he's going to get in big games, but what'd you make of him tonight?
It wasn't great. Didn't look comfortable early in the game. I mean, the first, I want to say, four or five possessions, he basically just stood in the corner on every possession. And almost like he was trying to kind of get out of the way a little bit. Steve Kerr thought he was more comfortable in the second half, played better. He propped him up. He said he thought he did a nice job for what he was asked to do. I just wonder how much that injury hurt him the first week of the season, because he looked like a guy that was ready to contribute. And by the time he got healthy, by the time he got in the mix, Ian Clark really took his spot. Ian Clark was playing so well, and he did again tonight, and he's been able to score, that Patrick McCaw, he got buried, I think, a little bit. And, it's tough when that happens to a rookie. Sometimes you wonder, are they ever going to pull themselves out of it for that entire season? And I think maybe we're getting to that point with McCaw, but the Warriors, I mean, they believe that they need everybody on the roster, so it wouldn't surprise me if he gets another opportunity, maybe because somebody gets hurt down the line, and then we'll see if he's able to show some growth. But they're getting from Ian Clark a lot of what maybe they thought they were going to get from Patrick McCaw, or get from both of them when the season began.
Don't forget, tomorrow morning we're going to have a ton of Warriors for you. Tim Roy will be on with Chad Lowe and Dibs at 9:05. Sean Livingston will be at 9:45. Basketball hour tomorrow from 12 to 1. Bob Myers at 1:30, and then Draymond Green at 4:30. So Warriors all day long here on 95.7 The Game. One thing in here that you look at on the stat sheet, and it was really bad early, points in the paint. Miami Heat at 58. They got it done in the paint tonight.
Yeah. No, they did. They got it done in the paint, and I think when you look at that, that's something that continues to be something you keep an eye on, I guess, with the Warriors. I mean, the Heat played hard. The Heat went at them, I mean, for as much as they could with their talent level. I'll tell you what, I not to make this all about the Heat, but, I mean, there's a lot of teams that come in here and don't give a real good – I'm going to bet you that the Heat – we're going to look back on Thursday night. I'll make you a little bet. We're going to look back on Thursday night with the Pistons in here, and I'll bet you we go, you know what? The Heat gave the Warriors a harder-fought game than the Pistons did.
Okay.
It's just some food for thought, just to think back on. I know the Pistons have played the Warriors well.
By the way, speaking of gambling tonight, I think the spread was 14.5. Mm. It was 14 or 14.5, and at the very end, the Heat got a couple buckets, and if you had the Warriors tonight, you came out on the losing end just because of the last sequence of the game.
Well, you didn't think you were going to win that anyway for most of the night. So
yeah,
there was only about 30.
Yeah, but the Warriors are the masters of making it happen at the end.
That is true.
They'll make 16 happen in 2 minutes.
That's true.
But, yeah, it's a rare night, I think, that it went the other way in that respect, because I think there's been a lot of those covers where they end up on a, you know, they score, they go on a 20-2 run, and they end up a game that looks like it's got no shot to cover, winds up covering.
Not that any of us are looking at the point spread up here. No, well,
they also have the other kind of game, too, where they're up 25 and it gets down to 10 and then they don't cover because the bench was in a lot of the fourth quarter. The starters kind of bogged down.
You know, a good thing is, as you mentioned, Detroit, and then after that, you got a few days, and then no excuses. Martin Luther King Day, no excuses.
No, it's going to be fun, and you saw the Warriors are actually not going to practice tomorrow, just to kind of give you a little bit of a feel for the week. They're not going to practice tomorrow. Detroit's in here Thursday, and then I would imagine with Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Warriors are probably going to take one of those days off. Maybe Saturday, maybe they go Friday, take Saturday off, go Sunday, and then have the game in here on Monday night. So, yeah, they're going to be rested. They're going to have a little bit of practice time. And the Cavaliers are in a position, you know, I'm interested to see what they do tomorrow. They got a second of a back-to-back. They're in Portland. They go to Sacramento on Friday night, but they have the weekend off as well, Saturday and Sunday. So I think they'll be rested if they want to play everybody. Matt, we had the debate, you know, if you're Cleveland, would you just sit everybody and not let the Warriors even think that they can beat you when you have everybody?
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate that.
The psychology of it,
though. I hate that.
I hate it, too.
That's so gutless. I hate that.
But think about it. The Cavs have beat them 4 in a row now. Would you want to take that psychological?
It's criminal.
Psychological
edge.
Well,
what these people are paying, it's criminal to do that.
I hear you. But would you want to take that edge with you all the way to June?
Oh, God, I hate that.
I wouldn't do it either.
No.
Actually, I probably would.
It may be smart, but I don't like it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for Warriors Wrap-Up as the Warriors take down the Miami Heat 107-95. Next time we talk will be against Detroit.
Yeah, it should be a good one. We'll see what Detroit's got left. They're on a road trip. They had an awful loss tonight. They blew an 18-point third-quarter lead in Sacramento, so they'll be trying to bounce back.
All right, everybody, drive home safe. Be safe out on the roads, and don't forget Fox Sports will take you the rest of the way, all the way up to Chad, Lowe, and Dibbs tomorrow morning right here on 95. Did I?
Joe Lowe and Dibbs.
Joe Lowe and Dibbs, I'm sorry. My old buddy, I forgot. I'm sorry. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Wrap-Up right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.